Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I'm Ross Bowlin, here with producer Cade Orris. Cade? Hello?
Hello.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I saw a photo you put up on your Instagram stories of you at your run club last night. If you're unaware, Cade has joined a club of runners.
Yeah. Well, actually, it is a social club disguised as a run club, is what they say. So yeah, you're supposed to go there and meet people. You just happen to run. Yeah, we all just happen to be running, you know, the same route.
Uh-huh. That's a great marketing scheme.
Right.
But you've talked about run clubs several times over the past few months. And in my head, I was always picturing like 10 of y'all, like running all sad together.
Just a bunch of sad boys just running through the pain.
Yeah, 10 sad boys on foot.
Just out there grinding. Just getting it.
Yeah. That's what I pictured in my head. But last night you put up this story on your Instagram stories of you outside of a Shake Shack, and it looked like a riot was occurring. There's like a woman leading. She's like standing on the steps like yelling.
Yeah.
And it was like 40 people, something like that. And I responded to it. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then it occurred to me, oh my God, he's at Run Club, and it's much larger than I pictured.
Yeah, you didn't see the... Because I always post like the route and like my time and everything. You didn't notice that at
first.
Well,
I thought you just happened to be on a run and you came across
like a protest. Okay, yeah.
And you were becoming socially active as a justice warrior. I had no idea what was going on for about 20 seconds, and then my brain figured it out
for you. No, there's a ton of people that go that. Like, there's probably like close to 100, maybe.
That's too many. That's too many. Because how do you pick who to talk to?
Oh, well, see, I don't. I just talk to my friend, and that's about it.
Just you and one other sad boy in a corner.
Yeah, and we just kind of, we just talk to each other, how our day's going, all
and
that.
Then run. Talk while you run?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, we'll chat a little bit, but like mostly it's just like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, I just want to end.
But it's a conversation friendly pace.
Yeah.
That you're running in.
Yeah, and like, because there's like so many people, and like, we don't usually start at Shake Shack. We start like on Barton Springs.
Okay.
And like, it just got so congested, like with everyone running like together, and like, there's not really like a chance for like anyone to like break off. So it's just like, there's just so many people like right by you, and like, so our pace was really slow for
it looks like people
a
running a 5K. Like, yeah, that's how many of y'all there are. Wait, why were you in front of a Shake Shack yesterday?
I don't know. They just had some like deal with Shake Shack where like after our run we were able to get like a free drink there.
That doesn't seem like counterproductive. Like, I love Shake Shack, but it's one of those places where as I'm eating it, I'm like, this isn't good.
Yeah, no.
Like, for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you work it all off before.
Yeah, but then you're just back where you started.
You need a little treat, you know, as a reward. it's like a reward.
You did it. Here's some fattening ass food. Because I'm in there and I get like the, you know, double shack burger, whatever it's called. Sometimes I get the bacon one.
Yeah.
I've tried the chicken one. It's not bad. Shake Shack does not sponsor our show, just to be clear. This is not some kind of like fucking natural advertising. But I always like the milkshakes are really good too. Yeah. I mean, I can leave there feeling like a really fat fuck is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I definitely like ended up like getting food after and I got a free shake. So yeah.
They got you.
Yeah, they got me real good.
What an evil campaign by Shake Shack. All right, what we'll do is we'll contact these run clubs and we'll tell them that if they start and finish at Shake Shack, that they all get a free fucking milkshake.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of evil executives like cackling in a back room.
Yeah, no, they got a lot of us like the line to like just even get like the free drink. Like it was like wrapped around like the entire store. So yeah. But it was a good time though. And yeah, no, there are a bunch of people to go, but like there's one, like they have them all over the country now. So it's like Denver, LA, New York, Chicago, like all these different places. Like I think Denver had like one with like over 500 people show up.
Holy shit.
And yeah, I'm just like, yeah, no, that's way too much. Like it already feels like a lot with like just like 100 people, but like, yeah, they can get up there. People just love to run, man.
So, okay. I used to be a big runner.
Yeah.
Right. I was never in a run club.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was adverse to run clubs because I'm pretty sure my dad was in one when him and my mom were married, and that's how I met his girlfriend. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, I hadn't run in a couple of years. And the other day, I was like, I've been on my workout grind, right? I've been doing my FitBod workouts like 4 or 5 times a week. I took a couple few weeks off when I was like sick and all this scheduling shit happened. For the most part, for over a year now, I've been going hard. I even added some supplements into the mix.
Ooh, okay.
I'm doing fucking all the teens. I'm doing, and not like you're thinking, protein.
Okay.
I've got some protein coming in the morning in the form of a shake. I'm making them myself, a little bullet fucking blender thing.
Okay, you're not just doing like protein powder and like milk or something?
Protein powder, coconut milk, frozen bananas, frozen strawberries, peanut butter.
Okay.
Wow. Fucking blend it up.
There you go.
Delicioso. But it turns out, like, I'm not getting enough protein in. I needed more. I'm trying to bulk, right? Also, creatine. Started taking creatine.
Okay.
I want to be like Mark McGuire. I want to have huge forearms.
Well, I think he was taking other stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah.
Protein, creatine, nicotine. I don't think that one helps. But
no, probably not.
I do the nicotine as well.
Helps, like, take off the edge.
Yeah. Or sometimes create it.
Yeah.
There was another teen. I can't remember. But I'm doing teens. That's
doing
the point.
Teens. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and not that way. But for health purposes. And I need an activity on the days I'm not lifting weights to keep my body active.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, on like Wednesday, I had an off day from weights. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for a run because you've been doing run club and putting up your fucking runs and your routes and your distance and your pace. One of my other best friends has been doing running and gotten really into it, and he runs really, really far, and it makes me feel lazy as fuck when I see both of y'all doing this all the time. So I was like, I'm going to go do a run. And I got on my little, I had to re-download the Nike Run Club app because that's the one I was
using. So you are part of a run club.
It's a good it's a good point. Except it's just me and then this fucking guy in my ear, in my AirPods, talking to me while I'm running. And I picked the beginner's run.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this running club coach who comes on. He's like, it's the most positive person in the world. Most, like, incredibly motivating person ever. And he talks you through the run. And I did this run. It was a 20-minute run. I think it was 1.97 miles I ended up doing. So it's, you know, not terribly far, but and at a very gentle pace. One of the things he kept telling me was like, you need to be running at a comfortable pace right now. If it's hard, you're going too fast. So just slow down. This run is not about hurting yourself. A lot of runners make that mistake. He goes on and on and on. I'm like, dude, fuck, I'm trying to listen to this song, man. I can like hear the music underneath him,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I do the run. During it, I feel amazing. I'm like, this is what I was missing. I missed this. The runner's high was hitting me. I was like, fuck yeah, it was a beautiful day. Not too hot, not cool, just like right there in the 70s. And when I was done, I felt amazing. And I went to sleep that night. I slept great. And I was like so stoked that I had rediscovered my love for running. And then I woke up the next day and I stepped out of bed. And my left knee, like, gave out. I had, like, tweaked my knee somehow, I'm assuming during the run, and it hurt for a few days. Now it's fine.
You're good now?
But I haven't gone back since, is the point, because it scared me. Because this is my, look, I've got chicken legs. Everybody knows this.
Right, yeah.
There's not a lot in the way of meat, serving as, like, you know, like cushion, or like, you know, like what's it called in your car?
Is that how it works?
Your suspension. I mean, as you're running, I think it has to help your bones if there's like more meat surrounding.
Yeah, but like a lot of runners are like super skinny. They're all like skin and bones.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
You're probably just running wrong, maybe you don't. Like, what shoes are you wearing?
They're really old.
Yeah, that could also be a part of it.
Probably part of it, yeah. That's a good point. Okay, you're making me feel a little better.
Yeah.
But my, like, initially I stopped because I was like, I've been doing this too long. My metabolism is really high. I'm trying to gain weight because I lost a bunch of weight when I came off meds, right? So mm-hmm. I was trying to gain weight. I stopped running. That was literally when I stopped. I weighed like a silly amount. I'm 6'2". I weighed like 145. I was like, I have to stop running.
Okay.
And then, you know, I've gotten in a good healthy swing of things and I figured I'd add it back in. But like my fear is that it's going to like burn away the muscle I'm trying to build. Or that I'm going to fucking hurt myself because I'm 36 years old now. I'm no spring chicken like you are, right? So like the older you get and the more you run, like the more likely it is you're going to fucking hurt yourself. And then I woke up with a knee injury like the next day. So I'm just, you know, it was defeating.
Yeah, you definitely have to like ease back into it for
which
sure.
Which I tried to fucking do. I listened to the coach. I listened to him. He was like, slow down, man. I was like, fuck, dude, I'm almost walking. It's like the slowest I can possibly jog. I've got long ass legs. But it was awesome, though, to get back out there, even though I was alone.
Yeah.
Except for in my mind where this man was.
Yeah, was he, like, saying, like, was he repeating himself over? Was it, like, just, like, for the entire time he was saying, like,
no,
was...
like, at the beginning, he gives you, like, a speech about, you know, running. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to check back in with you in a few minutes. Just keep this pace, control your breathing, and enjoy your surroundings. I was like, sick.
Okay.
So I get like, you know, 3/4 of the way through another song. And then he like pops in before the end of the song. He's like, what's up? How are we doing, guys? All right, let's fuck. And just like basically reiterate some
so
of the
like
things he's already said.
Like he knew like how fast you were running?
Not sure. Okay. I had that same thought. I was like, does he give a different response based on my pace?
Yeah.
Or distance or elevation? Or is it just... My guess is that this is just the pre-programmed beginner's run. He says the same thing no matter what's happening to every single person.
Mm-hmm. And on this app, like, so they have beginner, like, I'm assuming, like, intermediate, advanced, or...
I think this is literally the one that's like, you're just some fucker who downloaded Nike Run Club.
Yeah.
They assume you've never run before in your entire life, and they're giving you, like, some basic, like, the easiest run possible. A 20-minute, mm-hmm. just, like, simple as it can be run. But there were a lot of tidbits in there about, like, because I used to haul ass, dude. Like, when I ran, I was running. Mm-hmm. Like, Forrest Gump. Like, I had one fucking speed. There was a lot of, like, useful information about, you know, pacing yourself, that it's not all about speed, that it's not all about, like, making yourself sweat and hurt as much as possible. And that was good for me to hear.
Yeah.
Because, like, I definitely would have been going a lot faster than I did if not for this.
Then you probably really would have hurt yourself.
Fucked myself up, right?
Yeah,
if
yeah.
not for this random coach in my ear, so... yeah, it was good. It was good. I'll go back. Not today, but
yeah.
You know, my allergies are fucking with me, but
all right, yeah, this weekend or something maybe.
Yeah, maybe this weekend. I'm going back out there. Maybe I'll go with you to Run Club one day just to see. Get a fucking shake shake.
Well, we usually meet at Lou's on Barton Springs. Have you been there?
Is that a bar?
It's like a restaurant bar.
Restaurant and bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I'm back, baby.
You're back.
I'm fucking
Hell yeah.
back. I'm doing it.
Good stuff.
And I did miss it, but I may need to get new shoes because those are, they're quite old.
Yeah.
Quite. I don't know if you remember back when like Brooks Running sent me free shoes.
No, I do not.
I think it was like 2019.
Were they like a sponsor or something?
No. No, it was like one listener worked at Brooks, so I got free Brooks Running shoes for like 3 years. And then I never reached back out. It was tight.
Yeah, does he still work for them?
I don't know.
Is he still
listening? Holler at us because, like, yeah, we could both use new running shoes probably.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Even in the app, I won't say it again because it cut the check, but even in the app.
I mean, it's fucking Nike. I don't think they're going to cut us any check.
Well,
I
could have said the same thing about Chipotle, although they never did cut that check. In the app, it like lets you put your shoes in and track the mileage on your shoes so like you know when to get new ones and shit. It's a little helpful little app, you know?
Yeah. You should also get the Strava app. That's what I use.
That's what I used to use. But I would put up my routes, and then one day somebody was like, hey, moron, you're just showing us exactly where you live, because I was only going in my neighborhood.
Yeah, like right around here?
Yeah.
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 And I was like, oh, shit, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I stopped.
Probably don't want the listeners knowing where you live.
Well, not really, but I mean, at that point, I was talking about a lot more controversial things on a regular basis, so it was, you know, way more possible for me to piss somebody off than now.
I'm getting so much kudos, though, on the app.
Oh, my God. It's a great feeling, right?
Yeah, dude. Everyone's just giving me kudos. Oh, I'm like, oh, thanks, guys. Kudos. I love it.
Yeah, so I don't know if that element of it exists on Nike Run Club. I know you can follow each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can do kudos like with Strava, because that was always a nice feeling to get some kudos from your boys when you're going out for fucking yog.
Yog.
Some yogging. Moving on, unless you have any more running.
No, I'm good.
Anyway, you're listening to a couple of runners right now.
We're a running podcast now.
Just be aware. We are running. Kay, did you have any friends with hot moms growing up?
Yeah, I had a friend named Stacy, and her mom now had it going on. But
Stacy's mom did have it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
okay, for real though, did you?
No, I didn't. But the dads though. Smoking hot dads.
Friends with hot dads. Okay.
No moms.
Well, same idea.
No dads. Nothing like that. Yeah, no.
You did really? You didn't know anybody with a hot mom or like?
Not that I was like friends with, really.
No.
And yeah, I mean, I really had to go in the vault to think of someone.
Yeah, I had one buddy of mine whose mom was pretty good looking, but he didn't really get like a whole lot of shit about it. Now, I did.
You did, personally.
I did.
Because you had a hot mom.
This was a thing for me.
Mm.
And growing up as a dude with a hot mom, it was rough. Especially during puberty years when like you and all your friends turn into just horny little monsters. Like it was problematic.
Yeah.
Like it was constantly I was being told my mom was hot and it was hell.
Oh, she has a nice rack, all that stuff.
I don't have to get into specifics.
Okay.
But,
she's probably listening.
But yeah, she is. She's definitely listening and she's aware.
Yeah.
Like she definitely knew. My mom knew. Mom, you knew. And I suffered. As a result, just because it's like, what are you supposed to say? Like, what do you say? People are like, dude, your mom's hot. Like, shut the fuck up. That's the only thing I knew to say was like, shut up.
You want me to like agree with you? Yeah, like, yeah, my mom's hot.
Right.
Like, that's
like,
so weird.
I'm not going to have this conversation with you. Go talk to our other friends about it. Don't talk to me about it. What the fuck do you want me to do? Fight you? And it was mad annoying, dude. It was like, it was constant, especially like late middle school, early high school. It was, there were a lot of jokes at my expense. And I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know what to do. Also, I had to watch like other dads, sometimes my friends' dads, sometimes my best friends' dads, like flirt with my mom.
Oh no!
And baseball coaches and shit, like coaches, and it was fucking. It was just.
And they were all like probably married too, right?
Oh yeah, dude. Like I mean, I'm talking one of my best friends' dad. Would routinely...
Barrett's dad?
No. Oh. No. Not Mr. Dudley. Would routinely get honestly, an inappropriate level of flirty with my mom in front of me. Like, she'd be driving me and my friend, who was his son, and we'd be dropping his kid off, and he'd, like, get in the window of the car and start hitting on my mom. And I was like, dude, I'm fucking sitting right here. Why? Why would you do that, you creepy, horny old fuck? And anyway, it really was something. I know, I don't know, I can't speak for women and girls that have hot dads or hot moms, if it's like the experience is the same, but to be a dude growing up with a hot mom was hard. It was part of my, it's like part of my original trauma, my original origin story. My, what you know what I'm trying to say. But I was a little high the other day, and I was admiring my wife, and I realized my son is going to have to go through that same experience. And I don't really buy into, on a related note, so this was a stoned thought spiral that just got really out of control. And sometimes when I have these, I'll write them down and send them to myself for the show. Because I'm like, I don't know what else to do with this material.
I got to tell it to like, all the listeners.
Surely this is why I have a podcast. And so I was a little high. I was admiring my wife. I realized, like, it occurred to me, like, my son is going to have a similar experience that I did. Like, having a hot mom, he's going to get shit. It's going to be funny to me, not to him. And then I was like, I don't really buy into all the, like, Freudian mother fantasy stuff, like the deep psychological shit that, like, you know, with moms and their sons. But I will say this. If your mom has big boobs, it is over for you at a young age. Because, like, so this... So this came up because I have a 1-year-old son, and he's still breastfeeding.
Right.
So, you know, my wife has to take a boob out, place it in his mouth, and feed him. And now he's at the age where he doesn't really need it anymore because he's over 1 year old. He doesn't really need it like the way he did when he was a small baby, where it was like that was where, you know, the bulk majority of his nutrients were coming from. But it's like a comfort thing for him now. So, like, let's say he's trying to ride his little baby bike in the living room and he falls over. He'll be like, ah! And then he'll run over to my wife and be like, give me boob.
I want milk.
It makes him feel better. And it occurred to me, like, oh, this fucking guy doesn't even know, but, like, he's going to be a boob guy forever. Like, his fate is sealed. It's over. My wife has big boobs. It was part of the important context here, I suppose. But like, yeah, if you're a young boy and you get brought up with a mother that has like huge honkers, like it's your fate is sealed. You are a boob man permanently. And I'm talking about like on a different fetishistic type level, like not like all guys like boobs. I'm talking about like,
yeah, like being a boob guy or an ass guy. Is that?
I think it's decided for you.
Yeah.
But I don't even mean in the way of being a boober and ass guy, because like I still consider myself to be both. Like I can appreciate both evenly. Mm-hmm. It's not one or the other for me. I can't play that game. I don't like that. Like if you're like pick boobs or ass, I can't.
Yeah, no, they're both great. They both have their qualities,
their benefits.
Yeah, their benefits. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like psychologically, boobs.
For you, yeah.
And that's, there's like, I was surrounded by women with big boobs my whole childhood. My mom had big boobs. Both my grandmas had big boobs. There were just boobs everywhere. And then I couldn't escape it. And it became part of who I am. And I think that's like, that's something that gets psychologically programmed into you as a small child if your mother has a large rack. Like, even if you grew up to be gay. Which I feel like is way less likely if your mom has killer cans. Like, you'll always have this overwhelming desire to, like, at least see some big old titties because they bring you, it's like deep-seated comfort, like instinctively programmed into your sick male brain. And I believe that. And I thought about this for about an hour the other night.
I could tell you put a lot of thought into this.
When I was
this high. Segment, goddamn.
Anyway, so yeah, this is what I thought about while my wife was breastfeeding our 1-year-old, because this kid he loves him some chest cannons now, and it's like he's caught the fever. He doesn't even know it yet. Like, he doesn't even know.
No.
But I know.
He'll know one day.
Yeah, and the first time he brings home some like girlfriend with big bazongas,
huge rack, yeah.
I'm gonna go. I fucking told you. And then I'm gonna send him this episode, and he's never gonna speak to me again. And that'll be that.
They're gonna speak to you.
That'll be that. I'll embarrass him so much that he'll cut me off. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll start the show off with Run Club and talking about your mom's huge cans. Good start.
I wonder who will text me first, my mom or my wife, upset about this. Probably both.
Wait, did you tell your wife that you're
that
gonna,
I was gonna do this?
Yeah,
No.
Gonna be a shock for her.
No, I almost never warn her about what's gonna be on the show anymore.
Okay.
When we were dating, I did sometimes, but now it's kind of just more fun to see like when she gets to the episode, like whether or not she'll think it's funny or want to fight me.
You just never know.
I never know.
When you get
every,
home,
every day's
a
grab bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, perhaps you too have a MILF at home that you need to keep satisfied. Well, listen up, because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Fellow aging men waving bye-bye to your prime. Remember the days when you were always ready to go and could serve dick on demand? Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence when it's time for some passionate lovemaking. Listen up. BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No weird visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in discreet packaging, I would add. I've used Blue Chew's tablets several times, and diamond hard boner are the three words I would use to describe the results. Not rock hard, Cade. This is a different level. Diamond status. If you're looking for more confidence, if you're looking to make a lasting impression, if you're in the market for the... for the best sex sesh of your life, Blue Chew could be the answer for you, too. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for the RBP gang. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code RBP at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code RBP to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. God, I miss those. Those are good old-fashioned podcast ad reads right there. Blue Chew is back, baby.
Yeah, they used to be a sponsor, didn't they?
Way back in the day, yeah.
Way back. Now.
Yeah, we're bringing back the diamond hard boner.
That's good. That's missed them.
This is the year of the diamond hard boner, 2024.
Shout out Dan the ad salesman for getting them back.
Absolutely.
It's huge.
Huge get.
Yeah.
Very excited about this. Very excited. All right, moving on from all of that.
Whatever that was.
Boners, boob fetish stuff, and running. It's been an interesting show so far. I was perusing the internet recently, yesterday. I don't know why I wrote recently. And I found out that that every year, Uber, like, you know.
The rideshare service, yeah.
They release a lost and found index, is what they call it. Like a lost and found, you know, documenting a bunch of different statistics regarding items that get left behind in Ubers around the country. Now, so they have, like, you know, top 10 cities, top 10 most commonly forgotten items, both of which we'll go through really quickly. But first off, in 2021, I found out the number one most forgetful city was Austin, Texas, where we live and are right now,
mm-hmm.
which I guess didn't surprise me all that much with Sixth Street and everything. I mean, I honestly thought Vegas was just like would be a gimme, like, you know,
right,
if you're thinking of like a place where people are fucked up all of the time, like Vegas or Bourbon Street, like New Orleans, I assumed would be up there, but Austin was number one in 2021.
Well, that's because we had all the people from California moving here.
Oh yeah,
and if you look at the list, and they're pretty high up there right now.
Yeah,
it seems like.
Yeah, so now the number one, this is the 2024 list that I'm about to mm-hmm. read to you. The 10 most forgetful cities. Number one, Miami, Florida, which I guess Miami is a big party town.
Yeah, not shocking.
Number two, Los Angeles, California. Big ass city. Californians apparently forgetful.
Yeah.
Number three, Atlanta, Georgia. Number four, Houston, Texas. Number five, Dallas, Texas. A lot of Texas. A lot of Texas.
A lot of forgetful people in Texas, it seems like.
Orlando, Florida, number six. Phoenix, Arizona is seven. Tampa Bay, Florida, eight. Denver, Colorado, nine. Austin, Texas, 10. And you could also make this into a list of like places I would have liked to live. Like, those are all great cities.
Yeah, a lot of like party cities, too. So it makes sense why like people are forgetting stuff.
You know? Ubering a lot. Lots of things to do in these big-ass cities. Yeah. But Austin still made the list. We still came in at number 10. But we're doing better than we were in 2021 is the point. We've become less forgetful
than we were then.
The 10 most commonly forgotten items in an Uber, according to the 2024 Lost and Found Index released by Uber. Number one is clothing. How do you fucking shocked me.
Yeah. I thought phones was going to be number one for sure, like keys.
What is it? Is it people taking off clothing in Ubers? Bringing clothing into Ubers and then forgetting? I guess jackets, hats.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be it. It's just have to be a plethora of jackets being left behind in Ubers. Just shit ton of jackets.
Probably, yeah. I don't know.
They should have put jackets instead of clothing.
Just jackets and then...
Yeah.
Because, that's probably the majority of them.
It's got to be. Number two is luggage. What are you, fucking stupid?
Oh, see, that's just more clothing.
Yeah, but I'm thinking luggage like from the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you...
What, are you in just such a hurry that you literally forgot your bag?
Yeah, like if you're going on a flight, you're just like, all right, I'm here, I'm at the airport, ready to go. And then you just completely forget your luggage.
That one kind of surprised me too. The first two, perplexing. Number three, headphones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You've lost headphones
before. Oh, my God. Probably not exaggerating. Probably around 7 or 8 pairs of AirPods of mine ended up, because they fall out of the pocket into the Uber, and you don't recognize when you're getting out. And then once they've driven away, it's fucking game over.
It's over,
for the most part. You can try to contact the driver, and sometimes...
run them down, like, hey, wait.
Fuck. But they don't,
no,
you know.
They don't stop. They just keep going. They're on to their next ride.
Done that with a phone, too. That's all. Have you ever done that? Gotten out of an Uber and realized your phone was still in it?
Oh, no. See, whenever I use an Uber, granted, I'm always like pretty drunk. But I always check the pocket. So I got my wallet and my keys on one side. And then on my right side, I got my phone, my chapstick, my blunt, and my lighter. And I always check to make sure I got every single thing on me before I leave.
That's your version of testicles, spectacles, wallet, and watch.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. I don't know what that's from Austin Powers. I don't know what if people really do that.
Testicles, spectacles,
wallet, and watch.
Watch, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I check too, dude, but like when I used to be faded a lot more often than I am now, my brain sometimes wouldn't remember. And these things would just join the lost and found pile. But one time I got out, maybe 30 seconds after I exited, patted my side, realized my phone was gone, and it destroyed my whole night. I spent like 45 minutes to an hour and a half trying to get a hold of the driver to like get him to come back. Actually, this is reminding me. That time I lost the phone. It was gone. I had to replace it. There was another time I lost the phone, eventually got a hold of the driver that night, and the driver was nice enough to come and drop the phone off with me later in the evening after he got to a spot where he was like between rides. Mm. That was tight.
That was very nice of him.
Yeah.
Ubers don't really do that a whole lot.
Yeah, but if you're an Uber driver, you definitely don't have to buy headphones because they're constantly being left behind in your fucking in your car. Number four is jewelry.
I mean, number five.
Number five. Oh, number four is wallet.
Yeah.
Thanks. Wallet.
I have lost my wallet before, but it wasn't in an Uber.
The things in your pockets are in danger when you're in an Uber is part of the takeaway here.
Right.
Jewelry, I don't understand.
Because that's like on you.
You're taking your earrings off in the car or something?
Yeah, I don't.
Your necklace? Bracelet?
I don't know why you would.
Should it fall off? Fucking speed bumps?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't either. Then there's six is or seven. Now I've lost count. Phone is next.
Phone is six. Yes.
Phone is next. Camera after that. Again, pocket. Things coming out of the pocket. Things you set down next to you in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Tablet or book. Sure, but... larger items, don't figure it'd be as easy to leave those behind. Laptop coming in at number 9. And that's, if you forget your laptop in an Uber, you deserve it.
Yeah.
That shit's on you, son. And then number 10, which I thought would have been number 1, 2, or 3, is vape.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into an Uber and there's been a vape sitting next to me from the person before me or whatever. Like, those things fall out of people's pockets
constantly.
Those
things are always getting
lost. They just slip out, man. They just slip out.
But yeah, no, I am surprised like keys isn't on the list. It's probably like 11 or something.
Keys, yeah. Up there, I'm still...
Laptop?
Luggage? Laptop?
Yeah, luggage is 2.
Luggage?
Please. How do you forget that?
I guess if you put it in the trunk, but like, does that even count? I don't know. Moving on. They also listed the 50 most unique lost items. And these are like, you know how when you, if you leave something in an Uber, you can file like a report through the app?
Yeah.
Like, I left my phone. Mm-hmm. Help. I'm pretty sure these are just the exact words that the people typed in. So here's the 50 most unique lost items from 2024. A frontal hair toupee, hot sauce, and a breathalyzer. Now, that is one report. Hot sauce and a breathalyzer. Now, people sometimes use hot sauce to trick the breathalyzer. It's like a workaround somehow.
Okay, I was wondering like why you had both those things with them.
So that's somebody violating probation. This one just says, I left a leaf in your car that's much needed.
Need that leaf. Need it.
It's an important leaf.
Yeah, can't go home without it.
Next one says, 2 containers with spiders in them.
I'd be furious if I was an Uber driver and someone left.
You turn around, there's just two containers with spiders
yeah.
in them?
Yeah, and then you see one container that is closed and with the spider in it, and then the other one.
Oh, no. Yeah, you got a Home Alone
the lid's
situation
open.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking no, you got to burn that car down, yeah.
Yep, you got to burn the car down, yeah. A Beyonce fold-up fan, a tray of meat pie. That's like that psycho taking ribs on the airplane. Who takes a tray of meat pie into an Uber?
How do you forget the meat pies?
I don't know. If you love the meat pie so much that you're taking an Uber with it, you think you would remember to take it out. A ceramic cat, a jar of oysters, a personalized blanket with a picture of me and my dog, a small rat skeleton prop. I don't even know what that entails. A candle that says "See you in court."
I want to know what these people's like intentions were with these items. Or
I bet the candle that says "See you in court" was a lawyer that got gifted this from another lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah. At like a happy hour.
That, yeah. Or it could be like, no, an ex-wife filing for divorce.
See you in court. Holy shit, that'd be cold. Serve them papers with a "See you in court" candle. Fuck. I didn't even think about that. That'd be great. The next one is a fake tooth / retainer, and it says parentheses. It's a really small plastic piece with a fake tooth in it.
Again, what are they doing with that?
I'm guessing this is a person who had to get a tooth implant. Remember when I had to get a tooth implant?
Tooth with the...
On a Kind bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For a while, I had to wear this thing that was just like one fake tooth on a piece of plastic that I'd put up in my mouth so that there wasn't just a huge gap.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like what this is.
Okay.
Next up is a gray tub of surgical implants. I don't know.
Okay.
Police grade handcuffs. My live pet animal turtle. Why do you have to put the word animal in there? Just my live pet turtle.
Yeah, just,
everybody
or just
knows
my,
what a turtle
my pet
is.
Turtle.
Yeah.
You would hope it's alive.
Yeah.
If it's not, then there's a problem.
It's my live pet animal turtle. Waste beads and a burrito steamer. That's a strange combination of things that one person left behind. This one says, I left expensive blueberries that are special that I need that the store is completely out of. There's two packages that I absolutely need.
They need them.
Expensive blueberries and two packages of expensive blueberries, I suppose, that the store is completely out of. This person absolutely needs.
Absolutely needed them, yeah.
This one just says, my girlfriend's pregnant pills. Pregnant pills. It's birth control. This is the dumbest man living. Trying to get his girl's pregnant pills back.
Maybe you left them... intentionally.
Maybe.
You want to knock her up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This one says a small box containing a gnome, like a garden gnome.
Mm-hmm.
A stand-up paddleboard paddle.
That was probably definitely in Austin.
Yeah. Painting from SeaWorld. It was wrapped up in a roll, and I love it. I love telling her that you love it, just like they'll take it that much more seriously, try to return it to you. A playbill from the Spam-A-Lot show at the Kennedy Center. This one just says, my robot. No further information provided about what kind of robot it might be, just my robot. Benihana garlic butter. Now, this person is the opposite of the moron that said my girlfriend's pregnant pills. Contraceptive Plan B from Costco and a Baby Bliss Pro massager machine. Seems like one would eliminate the need for the other. I think a Baby Bliss Pro massager machine is for a pregnant woman to use.
And then the Plan B is
to unpregnant you.
Yeah,
but you don't need.
I don't know what you had to include from Costco.
Yeah, it could be two different women that these are for. One's for the pregnant
one,
and one's
for the,
to make sure the other one doesn't get pregnant.
Yeah.
The next one says a panic button.
He's probably panicking when he realized he lost it.
A spear and a furry foxtail. Taylor Swift autograph, and then it just says framed! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. A fart sensor, Bravo Con wristband, a hashtag best day ever foam sign. Not the best day ever anymore, huh? Three feathers, a fake butt. Somebody got in there and was like, my ass is sweating. I got to take this fake butt out until we get out of the car, and then forgot the fake butt.
Forgot his fake ass. Oh, no.
If I leave my fake ass in the car, dude, I'm not sending in a notice that I want to retrieve it. A poster of Hillary Clinton, panty liner, and 1,000 bucks. Okay, so this one says, panty liner and 1,000 bucks, period. That's all I can remember. Like, there might be more.
There's more.
But there's at least panty liner and 1,000 bucks.
I do remember that.
If you
find anything else, let me know. Because it might be mine.
That shit's also mine, yeah. But if you find the panty liner and 1,000 bucks, that I need. the next one says, some lotion or my thong.
Not sure which.
But one of them.
One of them. I definitely left in your car.
Either my lotion or my thong is in there. But not both. Or. Meditation crystals, undergarments, bread, a pack of ham and mayo.
Just making a sandwich. With underwears.
Cardboard cutout panda, a street sign saying she's drunk in a picture frame. I love this one. My father's beard softener. Nobody cares whose it is. Just say beard softener. Big sentimental carrying jug. A paternity test.
Ooh.
Hope they saw the results before. WWE championship belt.
All right. Like a real one, or is like
probably
a replica. Like, yeah.
Yeah. A Harry Potter wand engraved with the name Alexander. What a dork. A large sticker with a dancing cartoon cat that says Spanky Fest on it. This one just says, I might have left my garden fence in the trunk. Maybe.
I might have. I don't know.
It's possible. There are other places I could have misplaced
it. It's not in my garden, though. I can tell you that.
So it may be in the trunk. Next one, Jeep Liberty engine. Please call me. A whole ass car engine? How the fuck do you leave that in an Uber? How does that even happen? Then this one just says, I lost my wizard woman.
What the fuck does that even
mean? Just somebody who got out of an Uber on LSD that was enjoying a wizard woman while they were in there and then had to retrieve the wizard woman by sending a message to the Uber driver. And then finally, last but not least, three Japanese ceramic decorative cats. One gold, one black, and one pink. All fist-sized. Beautiful. Beautiful. Shit. People are traveling with all kinds of shit, man.
Yeah, no, I guess some of these items, you know, like really like knee in the back, you know, especially like those blueberries. But like, I'm seeing three feathers here. And if I was an Uber driver, I'd like, go fuck yourself. Like, I'm not like coming back just to give you three feathers or
three
your fake
feathers.
Butt.
Three feathers. Not, yeah, there's no fucking reason you need those. Fart sensor. God, we're falling apart.
Surprised someone didn't leave like a sex doll or something in there.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. They probably wouldn't want to like report that. Like, hey, can you bring back my sex doll?
I don't think people have any shame, though. They're trying to get all kinds of weird shit back.
That's true. I mean, they're thongs and...
A leaf?
A leaf. I need that leaf.
Much needed.
Much needed.
A much needed leaf. All right, moving on. In sports news, the legalization of sports betting continues to cause waves throughout the professional sports world, most notably recently with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter stealing millions and millions of dollars from him to cover gambling debts. And now, in an almost equally bizarre story, an NBA player has been banned from the league for life, which, if I remember correctly, is not a thing that has happened in professional sports since Pete Rose.
I believe... OJ Mayo was the last one to get banned.
What did he get banned for?
Might have been drugs.
For life?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up while we talk. Anyway, it's Toronto Raptors, I think, backup center. Yeah, backup. Jonte Porter, who's the brother of...
Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr., who's a much more well-known NBA player.
Yeah.
Who actually gets, like, meaningful minutes, or at least he was last time I...
Yeah, no, he's a bucket for sure.
Yeah. So this is Jonte Porter, not Michael Porter Jr., and he plays for the Toronto Raptors, but not often.
Well, he did.
He did, yeah, he did. Now he doesn't. Now he never will again. So I'll read you some of the story from Action Network. Toronto Raptors center Jonte Porter owned and operated a VIP account at one gambling site in Colorado that wagered millions of dollars in total from 2021 to 2023, multiple sources with direct knowledge told the Action Network. Now, when the story first broke, it sounded like essentially like Jontay Porter had given information, which we will get to, had given information to someone else about his what he was going to do that game so that that person could bet on what are called player props. So there's like, for people who are unfamiliar with sports betting, let's say I think, James Harden, just because that's somebody y'all have heard me talk about a lot. Let's say I think James Harden's going to score 40 points tonight. And I go look, and his player prop bet for tonight is an over-under of 25 points. Well, 40 is more than 25, right? So I would bet that he's going to score over 25 points. Now, if James Harden and I had a personal relationship, and Harden said, yo, I'm going to fucking suck tonight. I've got the shits, and my cat just died, and also my arm hurts. You should bet the under. That'd be like a lock, like free money, right? And also illegal for him to share that information. It's akin to like insider trading.
Right.
Yeah. Right. There's a reason that's illegal. There's a reason this is illegal. And when the story first broke, it sounded like Jontay Porter was basically telling somebody that he knew, yo, I'm not going to play much tonight. So they bet the under on all of Jontay Porter's prop bets, which flagged because the way these casinos keep track of these things, nobody's betting on Jontay Porter props. No,
and I think they just started doing prop bets for him too. It's not like, he's not like one of those big name players where like they have prop bets for him every single night.
Right.
They just started adding to him because he was getting more minutes.
And then he tried to take advantage of it. Yeah. It sounded like that's how he got caught. So more details came out after an investigation. And apparently he placed over 1,000 wagers. He was firing all of the time, was a quote from one of the sources. And yesterday, on Wednesday of this week, the NBA decided that his punishment is that he's banned for life. In a statement, the NBA said it found that Porter had disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes. So one of the times, he placed bets on himself and apparently had other people doing it too. It's like he was calling his boy and being like, yo, tonight, 3 minutes into the game, I'm going to say I'm sick and that I can't play anymore. So that way, the over-under has already been set for his personal prop bets. This person that he's giving the information to can go bet the under on all of it. Points, rebounds, assists, whatever. And then 3 minutes in, he's like, my tummy hurts. Leaves the game, and there's no way for him to score. All of the unders are going to cash. Some shady shit.
Yeah.
Especially because he's a guy who, like Cade said, like he didn't play much, but he was there. He was playing some. And then the team no longer has the option to put him in the game, obviously, if he's pulled himself from the lineup. So the league also found, it says, that while Porter was in the G League with the Raptors 905, I guess that's their G League team, He bet $54,094 on NBA games using an associate's betting account, including three Toronto Raptors games. So Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said there's nothing more important than protecting the integrity of the NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violations of our gaming rules are being met with the most severe punishment. ESPN reported in March that Jontay was under investigation by the NBA due to irregular betting activity on his prop bets. And during two games earlier this season, wagers on Porter to underperform were the most profitable bets of the day, according to data from DraftKings. So his dumbass thought no one would notice.
No one's going to know.
If Jontay Porter prop bets became the most profitable bets in the whole of the NBA on any one day, but this is multiple days we're talking about that this happened. And they tracked that shit, and that's how they caught on to this. They were like, well, Jontay Porter bets? What the fuck is happening here? Clearly, somebody got tipped off to something, is what you take away from that information. It says Porter played but left early in both games and with reported ailments. Each time, anyone who bet the under on Porter's props profited. It's pretty straightforward. This would not be complicated to figure out. He's not a smart man.
No, clearly, clearly not. No.
This is some really dumb shit. And I don't know if this is accurate, but somewhere I saw that he made something to the tune of $52,000 when it was all said and done off these
bets. I saw
bets.
Something that was like $20,000, and like I think it's he made like $2 million playing.
Like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
Fuck. Why, dude? Come on, man. It says, last Thursday, Colorado gaming regulators requested sportsbooks in the state to report any accounts that Jonte may have operated. So they put out a big statement, and I guess they got a lot more information. The NBA bars wagers of any kind by its players or employees on the NBA or its affiliated properties, including summer leagues, the G League, or the WNBA. Wagering on other sports is not explicitly prohibited. A spokesperson for the NBA declined to comment. So the one thing that I could see moving forward, like, they obviously had to lay the hammer down on this guy. This is just blatantly fucked.
And, like, this is something they've done in the past. Like, I'm looking at, like, past, like, NBA players to get banned. And, yeah, so OJ Mayo was drug-related. I think he was just, like, doing, I don't know, probably
failing drug tests over and over and over.
Tyreke Evans, I think, is the most... Oh, now there's someone more recent. Jalen Harris, also drug-related. Tyreke Evans, I think he was selling drugs while he was in the NBA. Not sure why you need to do that when you're making...
You just love the hustle, bro.
Yeah, he loves the game. But then, like, it's either drug-related or gambling or point-shaving. A lot of point-shaving, it seemed like, in the early 50s.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. and then we have... hold on. Wait, where is it? Oh, Donald Sterling, racist remarks.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah, old Donald Sterling, man, he had to go. But the thing I could see becoming a problem, like, you know how they say, like, all right, you can't bet on the NBA. You guys, they don't say anything about being able to bet on the NFL or, like, MLB. But a lot of these guys know each other.
Right.
So I could see it becoming an issue where, like, an NFL guy tips off an NBA guy or whatever, or vice versa. Like, yo, I'm... not going off tonight. You know, shit like that.
Yeah, like, yeah, this player is like, you know, is coming off injury.
Right. Or like, I'm in the locker room and like this dude's ankle is fucked. Yeah. Like, yeah, shit like that could become an issue. But again, the reason that this guy, Jonte, was able to be traced is like some of these accounts, it was him operating the account under a fake name.
Yeah, he was making like multiple accounts.
And then just placing
betting
a bunch
on,
of bets.
On himself.
And that's
play like shit.
That's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah.
Versus, like, if an NFL guy gets a tip from an NBA guy about something, I don't know how they prove that, unless it's through, like, text messages or some shit. I really don't know. So,
which you'd like to think they'd be smarter than
right?
that.
Yeah, but then again, you never know. People are fucking stupid, bro. Like, Otani's interpreter-level idiots. And so, yeah, it's something that's going to continue to be a part of the professional sports world now, especially because, you know, sports betting has become this almost nationally acceptable thing. And it's just interesting. It's interesting to me what people think they can get away with, you know?
Yeah.
Like this guy sitting there being like, you know what? I don't even play that much. I bet I could make some cash on the side. It's like, bro, fuck. You're getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball.
To sit on the bench.
Just to fucking sit there. Do not do this. Do not risk your future.
I can't think
future.
Of a better job out there.
And his brother's in the league and shit. It's just like, oh, dude, what the fuck? Idiot. But yeah, that story is crazy to me. Today's episode is also brought to you by Liquid IV. Summertime is coming, and there's almost nothing I love more in the summer than spending time at the beach or at the neighborhood pool, basking in the glow of the smoking hot sun. But like Spider-Man's uncle once said, with great summer comes great responsibility, and the responsibility to keep yourself hydrated. A single stick of Liquid IV makes ordinary hydration extraordinary. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV is as easy as it gets. You simply tear one of these little packets open, pour it into your water, stir or shake, I guess, depending on your preference, and enjoy the delicious flavor of the hydrating power of Liquid IV. Taking care of yourself is important. Keeping yourself hydrated is a vital and crucial part of taking care of yourself, and Liquid IV is here to make sure that hydration is easier to achieve than ever. If you're like me and you're sometimes too busy or too forgetful to remember to drink enough water, Liquid IV makes getting your daily hydration in simple and more delicious. The number one powdered hydration brand in America, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy, no artificial colors or sweeteners, 4 delicious sugar-free flavors, white peach, green grape, raspberry, melon, and lemon lime. I love the white peach. I love the lemon lime. A zero sugar hydration solution with no artificial sweeteners, clinically tested to hydrate more than water alone. So turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Ross at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Ross at liquidiv.com. I was listening to the new Beyonce album finally.
Mm-hmm. Her country album?
Yeah, I kept seeing tweets, Cowboy Carter. Mm-hmm. I kept seeing tweets about it and shit, and I was just like, I like some Beyonce. I'm fucking... check some Bay out, see what's going on. It actually goes pretty hard. But there was one song I was listening to where she kept mentioning riding shotgun, and it got me thinking about how, like, how big of a deal it was in high school. This is, doesn't have anything to do with, like, mom boobs. How big of a deal it was in high school... If we were going to lunch or leaving where we just ate lunch, like calling shotgun so that you could sit in the front seat instead of being crammed in the back seat with a bunch of us was a huge game. Like, that was a huge deal.
Right. Yeah. It's,
people came to blows over this shit.
Yeah. Did you play it so where, like, you had to see the car before you could call shotgun? Or were, like, you'd just be, like, at lunch, be like, hey, by the way, I got shotgun.
So the rule we ended up going by was that we have to be leaving. Mm-hmm. The car doesn't have to be in your line of sight yet.
Okay.
But you can't call shotgun like halfway through lunch.
Yeah.
It has to be like once everyone has agreed to get up and leave.
Gotcha. Okay, so, yeah.
But I did know people who would try to throw that rule out there. Like, you have to be able to see the car. You have to be in the parking lot or whatever. Like, this is the way we did it. We did it like everybody has to have agreed we're leaving. Right. Mm-hmm. And it got competitive. It got heated. Like, I'm telling you, people would fight over this shit. It was crazy. But that got me wondering, like, where did that come from? Like, why do people call shotgun to sit in the passenger seat? And, you know, obviously, if I figure it must be because, like, back in the day, whoever would sit in the passenger seat would be responsible for, like, wielding a shotgun.
Yeah, they're the shooter.
Like, that was the closest I could come up with, right? But I did find some information, from, like, Business Insider did an article on this. It says, in the Wild West era of U.S. history, a shotgun guard used to ride alongside a stagecoach driver as his protection, keeping a keen eye out for bandits and highwaymen. So the term riding shotgun or to ride shotgun became a popular idiom in the 1950s, appearing in many Western movies. And in the 1939 movie Stagecoach, Marshal Curly Wilcox fights off Apache Indians while riding shotgun and says, quote, you boys take care of the office for a couple of days. I'm going to Lordsburg with Buck. I'm going to ride shotgun. So it just meant like being not, you're not the driver.
Mm-hmm.
You're there with next to the driver
to,
for protection.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where shotgun came from.
Wild. Never thought about
it's
it.
It's good to learn.
Yeah. We're learning here on the podcast.
That's what
today.
We do. That's what we do. We're a running podcast and an informational, educational podcast about the history of cars. On a related note, I have officially been driving legally for 20 years now. I realized this the other day. I've made it to the 20-year mark. Never received a single speeding ticket.
It's huge. Congratulations.
Have you gotten one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
But I got, like, removed from my record because, like, they have some program.
It's just one?
Yeah.
So you've only had one?
Yeah, I've only had one.
I mean, you're 10 years in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's actually such, like, a karma moment, too. I was leaving. So we had to go to, like, weights after school, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
For football?
Just, like, all sports. Like, if you weren't in season, you had to go to weights after school. And on Wednesdays, we had to do, like, conditioning and stuff, like, after weights. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to bounce early. So I, like, snuck out of there as, like, we were, like, going from the weight room to the gym. Snuck out of there, got to my car, heading home, feeling good. And I guess I was going a little too fast, and some cop got me.
Busted your ass,
yeah,
dude.
For speeding. I was like, damn it, I probably should have stayed for
karma.
Conditioning. Yeah.
Sweet cosmic justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, good.
I really don't know how. I mean, I'm knock on wood. I don't know how I've gone as long as I have without a speeding ticket. I have gotten a DWI in high school, so it's not like I'm like some fucking ticket free driver,
right?
But it's weird because like I speed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm like some really stringent fucking speed limit follower,
right?
It's just pure luck. Really? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's like pure luck. And from having been on probation for 3.5 years when I was 17 to 21, 16 to 21, I guess, I think I'm just like have such an intense cop radar. I'm like in my mind, like I'm very good at checking the rearview mirror and side mirrors and making sure like there's not a cop behind me or near me. And that way I don't ever get a fucking speeding ticket. I'm going to get one tomorrow now that I'm
talking
about
this. Yeah, no, on the way home today, yeah.
But still, I made it 20 years. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Good for you.
So congratulations to me. That's how I wanted to end today's show. And that will do it for today's show. But remember, Kate and I will be back tomorrow with another ad-free premium edition of RBP, available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Get on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Support our show by subscribing. You can have a 7-day free trial right now to check out all the ad-free premium episodes we have put out over the last several years. patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Also, please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. Do me and ad salesman Dan a favor by getting in there and supporting our sponsors. New sponsor today, Blue Chew. We're happy to have him back. We want him to stick around. Go get yourself some Blue Chew. And then Liquid IV. We all know Liquid IV. We all know and love Liquid IV. Get on there, liquidiv.com. Use that code Ross when you check out. To check out our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com. Of course, Jared J-Bone Borislow is covering all the latest in the F1 world each and every week on Formula Bone, youtube.com/@FormulaBone, @FormulaBone on all the social media sites. Formula Bone is also available on the podcast platforms. Go to bolinmedia.com/shop. Get yourself a Formula Bone coffee mug like the one I'm holding in my hand. If you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can, hosted by me, Ross Bolin. Available wherever you get RBP. Follow @BangingTheCan on all the social media platforms. And if you're watching Shogun on Hulu/FX, me and Mr. Barrett Dudley have been discussing each and every episode, and actually me and Cade for a couple of the weeks in this season, have been discussing every episode of Shogun on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our TV and film podcast here at Bolin Media. Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, available wherever you get your RBP. And if you're watching Shogun, check it out. We have a companion podcast for every single episode that has aired so far, and we'll have another one for the finale coming out next Wednesday. And remember, for those of you who are watching House of the Dragon, when season 2 starts in June, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles should be your go-to companion podcast for House of the Dragon. Follow our show, The Ross Bolin Podcast, on all the social platforms. Just search for The Ross Bolin Podcast. That'll get it done. Mr. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Orris. That's KadeOrris.
And you can follow me at WR Bolin on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. Video of today's show was produced by Cade Orris. Until next time, remember, you are not alone. Peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.